We'll turn in our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to begin reading at verse 13. Paul says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Let's ask God to help us this morning. Father, we thank you that you always cause us to triumph in Jesus Christ. And Father, we realize this war we are fighting, this war that we're in, without you, we cannot win. We cannot be victorious. And Father, we ask you this morning to help us to learn how to put on your whole armor that we may be able to stand against the wiles of our enemy. Father, we thank you that Christ has died a death that has set us free and has given us grace, and that the victory has already been won, even yet we still have to fight it on this sinful earth. We thank you, Father, that the victory is ours in you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in verses 6 to 13, gives us instructions basically on how to dress for war. And he says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." He says, "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." The last time we looked at our great need of why we have to put on the whole armor of God. Number one, we need to put on the armor of God in order that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil has a lot of trickery. He has a lot of schemes. The devil has a lot of plans. And Paul tells us that we should not be ignorant of his devices. So the way we defeat the devil in that sense is to put on the whole armor of God. Also, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, we said that an evil day is not a bad hair day. An evil day is a day when the forces of evil seem to be very active against you in your life, and that the devil has an agenda for you that day, and you must fight back against him to get the victory. But we must put on every single piece of the armor of God, and we must put it on with prayer if we're going to win this victory. We need to put it on to protect our souls as we continually have to fight this warfare constantly against the powers of darkness. And God has given us the means to keep and to protect our souls as we live out on the battlefield of this world. So the scripture, what it does, and Paul does it throughout Ephesians chapter 6, he exhorts God's people to use these means, to leave no unguarded place in our souls. We must avail ourselves of the full equipment that God has granted to us through his infinite grace and has provided for us in our Lord Jesus Christ, and this great, glorious salvation that he's given us through him. Now, to put on the gospel armor, we need to stand firm in battle, and remember that if you are a Christian, you will have to fight. And the apostle tells these brethren here at Ephesus, and it was probably a lot of young believers here when he told them this. He says, "Now you belong to Christ," and he's telling them, "You are automatically in a war against the powers of darkness led by Satan. So you need to be ready, and you need to be fit to fight this war and to be victorious in this war. You need to learn how to be strong in the Lord, and you need to learn how to be strong in the power of his might. If you're going to live on this earth in this sinful world, you need protection, and you need armor that cannot be penetrated, and you need weapons to fight back with the enemy. And the only armor that cannot be penetrated is the whole armor of God." He says you need weapons that are mighty in God for demolishing fortresses, or the word of God would say strongholds, because Satan can easily defeat your mind. Satan can easily defeat our reasoning. He can defeat our arguments, our psychology, our willpower, our common sense. This is why we need the whole armor of God to fully stand against the wiles of the devil. 2 Corinthians 10:5, the Apostle Paul says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Then he says, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Satan and his workers constantly are at war in your mind against the knowledge of God. And as we told you last time, he's always telling you, well, if God loves you, why does this happen in your life? Or, you know, you'll never get out of this situation and this problem, and God is not with you. And is the word of God true? Is the word of God real? He comes with everything that he can come to make you doubt the knowledge of God that you've been given in the word of God. Thoughts and arguments in our minds is where a lot of fierce battles constantly take place. And the thing about it is when you're going through these battles, nobody sees it but you and God. That's why when people go through things, you know, I don't down them and say, well, why are they going through that? They should be stronger in that and everything. You don't understand battles in people's minds. You know, I've had some battles and I'm going, hey, how in the world am I going to get out of this? And why am I even thinking this? And so I try to go to the word of God and try to fight my way out of these battles. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, where we was reading 4-5, he says, the weapons that I'm fighting with are mighty in God. And I'm using them to demolish these arguments and every barrier that's raised against this knowledge of God. So he uses a lot of language of warfare because he says, I'm bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's another way of saying, I'm taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. If a thought is not obedient to Christ, then Paul says, make it obedient to Christ. You know, make yourself think the way God wants you to think. A lot of people say, well, I just can't get through this and I can't think that way. Well, you can think the other way. So think God's way. And I know it's not always easy because it's everything that's the opposite of God is easiest for us to do. And so we always go against the grain when we go God's way. But that's what a warfare is. And God's way is what the victory is. So this warfare that we're looking at, we'll see as we look at this armor, that it involves being on the offensive and it's involving setting up your defense. Now, it's got a positive side and a negative side. And the positive side is the offensive side, and that's fighting in the power and might of God. And you will see the Apostle Paul in these verses, he uses scripture, he uses words like stand, withstand, resist and fight. Use the sword of the Spirit. And he's telling us that we're not to be afraid of the enemy, even though he's a roaring lion. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Use all your spiritual weapons that have been given to you by God. But he also, there's a negative side, and that's the defensive side of this war. And it speaks of our wrestling, our struggling, are fighting with the forces of evil. And remember, the whole concern for putting on the whole armor of God is that we put on protection for our souls. And people say, well, what are you talking about, putting on protection for your soul? I'm talking about the faculties of your soul, protecting your heart and your mind and your conscience. That's what you're protecting when you put on the whole armor of God. That's what you're protecting when you fill your mind with the word of God. Now, we need both of these. We need the offensive weapons and we need the defensive weapons to live a God-honoring, victorious Christian life. So that's why the Apostle Paul, when he talks to these, and I believe a lot of them are new believers, he starts dressing them up, telling them how to dress up in the whole armor of God. Now, defining the whole armor of God, he starts out with defense. In warfare, you have to have defense, and you need it around the clock, because what defense means is that you're on guard for 24 hours. I remember back in the Navy that I had to walk watch. We called it the watch. I think that's what it is, isn't it, Greg? I'm not for sure. I hated it, because what it was, they would always put you on these crazy hours. And like, you know, like from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning. And the temptation was to go to sleep and hide somewhere and stuff like that. But they would watch you while you were supposed to be watching. So they wanted to make sure that you stayed on guard. Okay. So I'll say it this way this morning. God watches us to make sure we're watching, because we want to go to sleep. And we don't want to, you know, protect the camp. But protecting the camp is vitally important, because the enemy, what he wants to do is he wants to catch us sleeping, unguarded, unprepared, defenseless. And he wants to catch us and spring a surprise attack. And I was thinking the other day about the wars in history. This is exactly what happened at Pearl Harbor, as well as other places in the world during times of war, as you can read in history. And it resulted in the fact that they did not guard the camp. It resulted in many casualties. That's why we need the whole armor of God in place all the time. And as long as we're in this world, we're going to be in constant threat of attack by the enemy of our souls. Now, this is one key thing in this fight. Past victories were good. They're great to look back on and rejoice in. You can draw confidence in them when you see how great God was and confidence in God's ability, but they will not protect you today. People say, but I've been a Christian all these years. I already know all this stuff. You know, Pastor Jim's going over it again. I don't need it. And that you need it today, just like you need it in 93 or whenever. Because the war is new every day. The war is new every day. And you have to polish and you have to shine your weapons and you have to clean your weapons up to fight every day. It's new every day. And so if we do that and we look back, we will see that you've grown marvelously in grace over the years. You've become strong in the faith, but you cannot make the mistake. And looking back at past victories and growth and strength, assuming that you are beyond the reach of the enemy because this war is not over. And I'll tell you something else the enemy does. He continues to readjust his strategy for you. And I know this for a fact. As you get older in the faith, he readjusts his strategy. It's the same strategy. It's different ways he uses it. And he comes against you in a different way than he did years ago. So if he couldn't tempt you with this now, he will tempt you with something else or another way he tempts you. But the war is different all the time. So we don't want to make that fatal mistake to rely on victories in the past, but we want to make sure that we can keep this armor on and be ready to fight at any time. Now, it's constantly needed for protection of our souls that we put on this whole armor of God. Now, this morning, I am not telling you to be paranoid. You need to live a blessed, joyful Christian life. I live my Christian life enjoying the goodness of God. You know, I don't walk around saying, oh, is that the devil there? Oh, is that the devil there? Is he behind that bush? Is he in that person? I don't do all that stuff. He'll show himself up if you know who the devil is. And if you got on the whole armor of God, you will know who he is before he even opens his mouth and says anything. But you need to live a Christian life enjoying the goodness of God. But the word of God alongside that over and over says, watch and pray, because there's still a devil out there. And he especially wants to mess your life up, especially when you are enjoying the goodness of God. So you got to know who he is, and you got to know that he's always looking for an opportune time to come and unguarded moments to try to tempt us, to try to suggest, to attack with pride and lust and defeat and fear and hatred and everything you can think of. He's always trying to use one or the other to make us dishonor God. Now, 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul says, let him who stand take heed lest he fall. I'm telling you this morning, I've been living long enough as a Christian to tell you this. You always need the armor of God. You do. I can tell you from experience, you do. And this is going to go on till I die. And this is not going to stop. And, you know, I said, well, you know, devil, you know, I've retired and everything. Can you kind of back off a little bit? Because, you know, like, you should be messing with me. Go mess with these young guys. Deal with them, you know. No. No. And if you're a minister of the gospel, he really deals with you. And a lot of people don't really understand these warfares. And I'm not trying to say that I go through anything that other people don't. But it just seems like sometimes it's more intensified than it is at other times. Well, let's dress up for war this morning. What are the qualifications and requirements to put on this uniform? Well, it's only those who have been born of the Spirit of God, who have been united to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that can ever use this armor. This whole armor of God is a special type of armor. The apostle describes it in using terms like this. He says, truth, righteousness, faith, salvation, sword of the Spirit, gospel of peace, the word of God. In other words, you must be a Christian who has believed and embraced Christ and the gospel and know the truth to be spiritually able to wear and to use this armor that God has provided for his people. In other words, every piece and part of this armor is spiritual in its nature, and it would not fit an unregenerate person. You know, a lot of times when people are witnessing to people, they try to tell them to use the armor of God and things they're going through in their life. They need a new heart and a new mind. They need to be in Christ. This armor doesn't fit them. And the scripture says it will never fit them. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And then he says here, they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So as we dress for war, Paul starts with the fact that we need this defensive armor, and he uses words like we need to gird this armor on, we need to put it on, we need to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He uses words like that. Just like the first one we'll look at today, he's talking about we need to gird our waist with truth. Well, that word gird simply means to fasten with a belt. It means to equip with a sword or a weapon to suspend from a belt. And the main thing that the word we'll see as we look at this, gird means to be ready for action. Then he uses words like put on. And that means to place or position something. And he uses the word for our feet. We need to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you need to put it on and shod your feet with that. Now, I want you to remember before we get into this that the Apostle Paul, as a prisoner, was very familiar with the Roman soldiers. I really believe he studied them out. I believe as he saw them all the time, you know, I think he watched how they operated. I'm not saying he got all this revelation from looking at them, but I believe he studied them and watched how they operated. And you remember we told you that many times he was chained to two soldiers, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And you have to remember that Paul wrote this letter from prison. So he saw a lot of the Roman soldiers, and he saw how they dressed and how they acted and what their warfare was all about. So I believe this is in some ways how he got this picture of spiritual warfare. Now, when you read about this warfare, Paul does not get exhaustive in concerning this warfare. What he does is he picks out six main pieces of armor that are critical and crucial and that are the most important, and that they are the most important and essential for warfare. And we'll see that these first three pieces of the armor are defensive pieces, and they are pieces that are not actually attached, or the pieces that are actually attached and fixed to the soldier's body. And the reason why they were fixed to the soldier's body is because they were defensive. They were for his protection. They were for when the devil shoots fiery darts and he could overcome them with this armor. So let's look at the first piece of armor. And this is defense. Anybody here know sports, they will tell you, pack your defense. You cannot win without defense. Now, sometimes you can. I did a few times, but their defense was weak. But what I'm saying is that you need to pack your defense. You need protection. He says, shod, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. This belt or girdle that he's talking about here that we need to gird our waist with is not ours, it's God's. And we have to firmly put it on and put it in position. And it wasn't put on merely for sake of decoration or adornment like many belts are. This belt that he's talking about here for the Roman soldier was absolutely necessary. It was an essential part of the Roman soldier's armor. Therefore, this was the first thing that the Roman soldier had to do is he had to gird up his waist with this belt. Now, in the apostles' day, it was a custom for men and women to wear loose garments that looked to me like a gown. And some of them were very, very long. When they walked with them, they touched the ground. And this is why the Roman soldier had particular need of this belt, or this girdle, some would call it. And he used this belt or girdle to pull up and bind together those loose garments that they had to wear. Now, when he wanted to relax and sit down and relax, he would take off his belt and sit down. But when he needed to go in action, what he would do is he would gather together these loose garments or clothes, and he would pull his gown up, and he would fix it in position with this belt. Now, I'm not going to go into elaborate explanation of all this. I've seen pictures of it, and people say it two or three different ways. But I want you to think about this. If you had these long flowing garments on and they were dragging the ground, how much that would have restricted or hindered you when you went to go into war. And what I'm saying here is that he would be constantly stepping on these garments or tripping all over them when he was trying to fight with his sword and with his shield. And so the point that Paul is making here, he said the first thing that soldier had to do is he had to get ready to engage the enemy. So what he had to do is he had to gather his clothing together and he had to fix it up firmly and place it in position, you know, with means of a tight belt or a tight band to hold it up so he would be ready to fight. You can't fight having clothes dragging on the ground. I thought about it the other day. I said, well, if I had to wear this thing, the main reason I would want to get it up off the ground so I could run, you know, because a lot of times you have to run during warfare. You have to get around and everything. And so if you're tripping all over your clothing and stuff like that, you can't go into action in war. And this belt would hold all his clothing in place. And the very putting on of this belt and girder in of itself would brace him up. And now the soldier is ready for action. And this belt was critical for him to survive. In other words, he's putting on this belt because it frees him for action in war. And now when his clothes are up on him and it's positioned in place, and I can't show it to you because I can't describe it this word, he can hold his shield in one hand, he can hold his sword in another hand, and he doesn't have to worry about tripping over his clothes and falling down and getting entangled in all this clothing. And now he is freed up and he's ready and he's able to fight. And this belt he's talking about here gave this soldier a sense of security because he's ready for action and everything is in order to fight. One man says this. He says this soldier's girdle was the belt or band that served to hold his tunic in place and from which the scabbard for his sword was suspended. So, you know, this is kind of like a belt. He would pull his clothing up on it. The scabbard for his sword was on this belt, and he would stick the sword back down at it, and it held his clothing in place. Now, I know it's hard to understand in the day that we live in, but that's what they wore then, and that's what Paul is talking about here. In Luke 12:35, the Lord Jesus speaks of this picture in Luke's gospel. The Lord Jesus says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning." And what he's saying in that passage of scripture, they are to look for him in his as they await for his return. But he's telling them that you need to watch and you need to be ready for action. So you need to have your loins girded. And that's why Paul is telling us we need to have our loins girded with truth. We need to be ready to fight. We need to be ready for action. Now, the question comes up is, spiritually speaking, how do I gird my loins with truth? Because this is the first thing that's essential in warfare. Paul says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist or your loins with truth." Now, like I said, this piece of armor is foundational. The soldier can't fight without it. Brethren, truth is foundational. If you're going to gird our loins with truth, it means that we're going to be equipped. It means that we will be ready for action. So what... I'm astounded at some of these guys that interpret the word of God and some of these theologians, because this question comes up: what does the apostle mean by truth? Well, to be brief, there's varying opinions of what people say Paul means by truth, because the argument is Paul talking about objective truth? And when I say objective truth, talking about the whole body of truth, you know, the whole truth of the scripture, of the word of God. Is that what he's talking about? Or is the Apostle Paul, when he talks about truth, talking about subjective truth? And what they mean by that is a moral quality that's in us of sincerity or truthfulness. What is the Apostle Paul talking about to be girded up with truth? This is a simple answer for me. But some of the theologians thought he talked about the sincerity and truthfulness within us. Well, number one, we're told to gird our waist with truth. We are to belt ourselves. We are to put it on ourselves. So to me, that has to be a spiritual weapon that we put on from the outside of ourselves. And the other thing is, you cannot fight Satan and the powers of darkness with your sincerity and your truthfulness. You say, why you say it? Because if you do, you're doomed. I mean, we go in life in ebb and flows. You know what I'm saying? Our goodness is there sometimes. Sometimes it's not. Sincerity is there sometimes. Sometimes it's not. But the word of our Lord endureth forever. The word of our God never changes. And that's the greatest spiritual weapon that we can have, because nothing in and of ourselves will be ever able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You need to put on the whole armor of God. He doesn't say anything of you. You put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against Satan. I would ask you the question this morning. Do you want to go into this war trusting in yourself and your ability? I wouldn't. Your strength, your might, your wisdom. Because everything on this side of glorification is flawed and it's imperfect and it's mixed with sin. If we're going to fight the powers of darkness, we need the strength and might of God. We need the weapons of God. We need the whole armor of God to fight this war. Because only the truth of God in us will help us stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul is not talking about the moral quality of truthfulness in us. He's using the term truth, and he has in mind the divine saving truth of God that has been given to each and every one of his children. I thought about Hebrews 4:12, and I don't want to take it out of its context, but he says that the word of God is powerful. Anybody believe it's powerful? Sharper than any two-edged sword. Your truthfulness is not powerful. Mine isn't either. Your truthfulness is not sharper than any two-edged sword. I can tell you this morning, Satan doesn't care what a nice person you are. Satan doesn't care you paid your taxes. Now, Satan is after your soul to completely destroy it. And one of the things that he cannot stand against, and even our Lord Jesus Christ, as we'll see later, is he cannot stand against, it is written. He can't. A lot of times we get in trials and stuff, we go to common sense, we go to common reasoning, we go to everything but the word of God. And you tell people, say, go to the word of God. Get delivered. Get some strength to fight this thing. Yeah, but I think if I do this or if I exercise more, I'm going, man, forget it. You know, go to the word of God. Go to church next Sunday. Find somebody that's preaching the gospel and just hear the word of God. Get some protection for your soul. Get something that you can fight with, because nothing in you can fight with, and nothing that this world has to give you, you can fight with. A psychiatrist cannot give you nothing to fight with. Alcohol Anonymous, whatever they are, cannot give you something to fight with. Rehabilitation, places where people get rehabbed, and I'm glad they get rehabbed and everything, they still can't give you spiritual weapons to fight with. No, you need the word of God. All they do now is at church is preach all the time. Amen. Amen. You know why? So we can fight. I was thinking about the other day, I'd be at work sometime, and I would hear Jim. I'm going, Jim, shut up for a minute. Just let me, you know, let me sin just for a minute. You know, I'd hear stuff he preached. There's Jim again, you know, hearing the word of God. I say, okay, Jim, I'll do it. You know, because you hear him so much, you know. But that's good, because the man's preaching the word of God. And you know what? God uses the mouths of preachers to help restrain us from sin. And that's why faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But anyway, what I want to make sure that you understood, that this armor that he's talking about is not a part of us. This is a piece of armor that's provided for us by God. It's something that we're able to put on, and it's been given to us. Now, a person would say, well, what does Paul mean in Ephesians 6:17 when he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? Because it seems like a contradiction if this is what that means. And it could mean the same thing in both places, but basically it does. Well, there's a difference between truth as a whole, and there's a difference between separate portions of truth. In other words, I say truth specifically used. Just take, for example, we talked about the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness by the devil. Matthew 4:2, Matthew says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And this is how Jesus answered him. He answered and said, it is written. Now, I'll stop right there for a minute. If he had to do it, don't you think we have to do it? Jesus said, it is written. He said, man shall live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And this is what I wanted to say about Ephesians 6, 7, talking about the sword of the Spirit. What Jesus did here is he used scripture to particularly answer this specific temptation. And what I mean by that is that Jesus is using the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit can also be a portion of scripture. But I believe what Paul is talking about, to gird our loins with truth, he's talking about the whole of scripture. And what I'm thinking is that if you know the whole of scripture, then when it's time to fight, you can pull out a portion of scripture and fight the devil. But if you don't know the whole of scripture, then that might be a portion of scripture you don't know. And so that, you know, you can't fight like you need to fight. But Jesus pulled out a portion of scripture from the whole of scripture. You say, well, where did he get it from? He got it from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, as Pastor Jim taught us. It is written. So when Jesus says it's written, he's using the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he does this in this temptation. And he just quotes a particular scripture that is able to defeat this specific temptation of the devil, because each specific temptation, Jesus uses the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But when he replies to Satan, he doesn't quote the whole Bible. He just quotes portions of scripture, which are the word of God. And when you get to Ephesians 6:17, when you talk about the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, yes, the whole word of God is the sword of the Spirit, but you can also pull portions out of the whole word of God to fight the devil. You say, give me an example. Okay, just say a man and a woman's walking by and you want to lust. You remember we used to use this all the time. I made a covenant with mine eyes that I will not look upon the maids. Right? You pull out a portion of scripture and fight the enemy with that. But where did you get that from? You got it from the whole word of God. So in one sense, the word of God can be the sword of the Spirit can be the whole word of God. But when it's used in battle or in a time of temptation, you can pull out specific scriptures for that time of temptation that the devil will come against you. And that's why Paul says, having your loins girded with truth. And I believe that he's talking about you need and I need as best we can to know our Bibles. And we need to, I remember people say, well, you know, I'm trying to remember scripture, and just so when the devil comes, I'm going to quote against him. Well, you've got to sit there and you try to remember it and you try to get it in your heart and your mind, because that way you have something to fight with. But you're getting it from the whole word of God. You say, well, what about the genealogies? Well, you don't have to worry about quoting the genealogies. You don't have to use that in warfare. It's there. If you had to use it, I guess you could use it. But what I'm saying is, it's still the whole word of God. And you go get these scriptures out and fight the way you need to. I've had to do it a lot of times. So the whole truth concerning the doctrine of salvation and Christ is exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Pastor Derek taught us this morning, we need that truth. You know, if there's one thing that the devil will come against, it's the doctrine of Christ. He will try to pervert the doctrine of the atonement and all of these things. We need that truth. And Pastor Jim will be preaching on tonight. That's one truth we definitely need to be grounded in. Because that's a truth that a lot of your false religion and everything else, that's one truth the devil will fight harder than he fights anything probably in the word of God. Other scriptures that help us to understand how to gird the waist for warfare, John 8:33. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So he's speaking of the truth, knowing the truth. He's talking about, I believe, the whole Christian doctrine in its entirety and the summation of truth. And I believe he's specifically speaking of the truth of himself and the gospel, because the truth will make you free from the wiles of the devil. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In other words, sanctification is by the whole word of God. God uses his whole word to sanctify our souls. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul says, watch and stand fast in the faith. He says, be brave and be strong. And when he talks about the faith, he's talking about the whole counsel of God. Because a lot of times you'll see the word truth and faith used in the word of God, and those are synonyms for each other a lot of times when you see them in the word of God. Also, one more passage, Jude 3. Beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, and I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. And he's talking about the faith that had been passed down once for all delivered to the saints. He's talking about the whole body of Christian truth, the whole counsel of God that has been passed down to us. He's telling us to fight for that. Then further, one more. 1 Peter 5:9, we're told to resist the devil steadfast in the faith. So, in other words, if we're going to fight the enemy of our souls, we're going to have to gird our souls with truth. And to just throw this in Ephesians 4:21, I really believe that when Paul talks about the truth, he's talking about the truth that is in Jesus. And the reason why I say that is because Jesus is the embodiment of truth. All truth that you see in the Bible comes right back to him. And the reason I say that is Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and no man can come to the Father but by me. So if we're going to fight, we're going to have to gird our loins with truth. We're going to have to take serious the teaching of the word of God. You know, we ask people in oversight all the time, are you reading the word of God? We want you to read the word of God because it does many things for your soul. It comforts your soul. It guides you in the way you should live. It's many, many, many things that's great about the word of God. But one of the things it does is it helps protect your soul when the enemy comes and tries to overthrow you and try to overthrow your faith. Now, spiritually lazy people are not good soldiers. Y'all with me? And you know what they do? They always want somebody else to fight for them. Some things we can't fight. Sometimes I tell people, look, I love you. I pray the best for you. God loves you. But you know what? You need to pick up your sword and swing. People say, oh, what's unloving? I don't care. The devil don't care about unloving and all that stuff. Pick up your sword and swing. I can't sleep with you tonight, you know, and tell you that be calm in your mind and, you know, all these attacks are coming. We can pray for you and we can pray with you and we can help you and we can counsel you. But I'm telling you, we can't go home with you and fight for you. Because the war is not in this room this morning. The war is going to be when you leave here. The war is going to be when you're out on the job and the devil's got you alone and all these temptations are there. Or when you're at home and you're tempted to do this or do that, or you're tempted in the store to look and lust at people, whatever else, all this stuff that comes on. Your pastors cannot be there for you. But I tell you something that can be there with you, and that's the word of God. And it can be in your heart and you can use it to fight. Well, as we begin to close down, so how do I gird my waist with truth? It is real simple, by grounding yourself in the word of God, by being rooted and grounded and settled as much as you can. You don't have to be a theologian, in the whole word of God, to being rooted and grounded in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One man says we need to be mastered by the truth. We need to be held by the truth. It's the truth that needs to hold me up and bind me, because it's the truth that gives me strength and vigor and power to wage spiritual warfare. And what the truth will do is it will govern my whole attitude toward this world, toward the flesh, and toward the devil. 1 Peter 1:13, Peter says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. To gird up your minds, you have to gird up your minds with truth. Truth is how you stay alert and ready in your mind. So I'm just saying this morning, if you want to gird up your loins with truth, you need to gird yourself with the whole truth as much as you can of the word of God, and specifically concerning the doctrine of salvation and Jesus Christ. Because this is the most important piece of the armor that we put on. It's the first one you need to put on when you become a Christian. And the first thing you need to do when you become a Christian is buy you a Bible and learn that Bible. Or buy your cell phone that the Bible's on it. I know the day and time is different and everything. I'd rather read a book than a cell phone, but that's just me. You can't turn the pages on the thing. But anyway, people get, I don't care where you read, how you read the Word of God. You know, when I first got saved, you know what I read about God, Word of God out of? We had a big old family Bible. That was the only Bible we had. And that's what I started reading the Word of God out of. That thing is that big. I still got it at home, you know, but I keep it for memories, you know, for where I first started reading the Word of God. But this is the first piece of armor that we need to put on if we're going to engage in spiritual warfare. Because remember this morning, Christian virtues are not the armor of God, and they will not stand against the devil. One man says, nothing less than the objective realities of the gospel truths will afford the believer the divine protection that he needs to resist the devil and his wiles. Now, I want to close down this morning with 1 John 2:14, because I believe this scripture sums it up for us. John says, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God, or you could say the truth, abides in you. And I like what he says here. And you have overcome the wicked one. Now, because John is speaking to young men, he tells them that they are strong and that they have the word of God abiding in them. And that's the reason for their strength. I want to give an exhortation to the young men this morning. I've heard them do this. You young men, you can be strong in Christ. You can be strong in the faith. And I'm going to tell you, and this is really rampant right now, you can overcome these fierce moral struggles in our day and time with this unbridled lust and lewdness that constantly tempt and challenge you every day. John says you can. And he tells them the reason why they're strong. He says it to every Christian, for any and every Christian. He says, if we will gird our waist with truth and be strong in the word of God, you can overcome the evil one. This new technology has put us in a different realm of temptation, and it's overthrowing tons of young men. And, we talk about it as pastors sometimes. And these young men can be strong, and they can overcome the evil one. And the reason why you can is because the word of God abides in you. All I can tell you is this. You'll go to the gym and build muscles. You'll do everything healthy to keep yourself alive. The best thing you can do is take care of your soul. Y'all with me? Your body's going to the grave. And what I'm saying is that build up some muscle in the word of God. You know, a doctor can tell people, say, well, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to die. I'm telling you, people are out buying medicine, doing everything else. I mean, change the way they eat and everything else. But the word of God says the soul that sinneth, it's going to die. Yeah, that's just God's word. That's the way we look at life. I've done it myself. Because we're more concerned about the stuff on the outside than the inside. But I will say this morning, and this is for all of us. The more rooted and grounded that we are in the truth, the easier and faster the sword will come out of the scabbard, and the sharper your sword will be for warfare. Psalm 119:11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. So if you want to conquer the evil one, hide the word of God in your heart and as much of the truth of the word of God as you can hide. Now, if you're unconverted this morning, I told you when I first started that you are in this war, even though you don't realize it, and Satan is not your friend. And you cannot win this war without the one who has conquered the enemy, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Only through the gospel of Jesus Christ does God provide these weapons and protection for our souls, and nobody will leave this world victorious outside of Jesus Christ. John, 1 John 5:5, he says, he who is overcomes the world, who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The reason why we preach the gospel to you so much is because we want to get some, number one, we want your soul saved, but also the word of God and the gospel provide protection for your soul in this world. My heart goes out to young people in the day and time you live in. It's a lot of temptation. That's a lot of everything. And we need to encourage and build up our young men and stuff like that and get them ready to fight these wars, because I'm telling you what, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. And God says, you are strong because the word of God abides in you. And he tells them twice, you have overcome the evil one. You know why? Because these young men had their loins girded with truth. And the truth is what will make any man free and protect him in this dark world we live in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we have your precious word. Father, many times we've taken it for granted. Many times we haven't meditated upon it. But Father, you even still in the midst of that used it to protect our souls. Father, we pray that you would save to the glory of your name in your house today. Father, we pray that you would bring conviction. But Father, we also pray that you would bring joy in the fact that you are with us and you will see us through this war that we're in. Father, we thank you today that we're able to come to your house. And we pray that as we return tonight, that Christ Jesus will be sweeter to our souls. And Father, that we will worship him tonight as we hear the word of God again in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you in the name of your Son. Amen.